the biggest takeaway for me was that we are all allies. We think about, you know, we are in a marginalized group ourselves, and sometimes more than one marginalized group as queer people of color. However, there are also moments where we can be an ally to somebody else who finds themselves in a disadvantaged moment.
You are listening to This QPOC Life, the podcast that looks at the world through the lens of a queer or trans person of color. So, this is the last week of our ooky, spooky, hollow-wookie month. Ooh, great writing, Zach. And we saved the best for last. So, buckle up and keep the hayride in the upright position. It's gonna be a bumpy landing. As always, we are joined by three other thriving thaumaturges. Please welcome our panel.
Hi, my name is Carlos Rios, and you can catch me online at Trey Fabulo. My pronouns are he, she, they, and herses.
Hello, everyone. My name is Zachary Aris. You can find me online at Zachary Aris or at Showtime Syzygy. My pronouns are he, him, his, they, them, theirs. They are open. And this week, I am a businesswoman, an author, an actress, a host. I'm one of the most celebrated and wealthy women of our time.
I love that for you. You may call me Jolie. That is how you will find me on the internet. My pronouns are they, them, theirs, and kiwis.
Ooh.
I decided to go edible this week.
A tropical fruit.
Something tropical. Mm.
Neat, petite, ready to eat.
And I'm Jonathan, a.k.a. Blasian FMA. My pronouns are he, him, his. And this is...
the award-winning This QPOC. This QPOC Life. This QPOC Life. This QPOC Life. This QPOC Life. This QPOC Life.
Before we dive into today's deep dish, we want to take a moment to thank our listeners who take time to send good vibes our way. On Apple Podcasts, our gold.
so many D's.
Did you hear like the pause? Because I was like, what is this? The title was a great mix of laughs and real, and then we don't see the rest of the title. 5 stars.
Thank you, 5 stars.
And it says, I'm still a new listener, but I'm already hooked on This QPOC Life. I love hearing the hosts talk about such relatable content with a smile and some shade.
Mm. Relatable content, trademark.
Well, thank our you. Goal, we love hearing from you, our family out in the world wide web. You can leave reviews on Apple or Google Podcasts and Facebook. You can even tweet us or send us an email. So maybe we'll give you a shout out on the next episode.
As we rapidly approach Halloween, I got to thinking, do y'all like horror films? Because I sure as hell don't.
Yes.
It's not Christian.
What about haunted houses or hay rides or costumes? There's a lot of things that happen during this time of the year as we enter and approach the actual holiday that is Halloween. So I thought, why don't we have an open discussion on what is our relationship to Halloween like? And maybe we can start by... what's our relationship to horror in general?
Hmm.
Jonathan, why don't you share first?
Well, this could go in a whole bunch of different ways, but for me, I liked Halloween as a kid, and then I feel like I grew out of it.
Mm.
And then when I moved to New York, suddenly it was like the gay mecca of the United States, and so like there were more different kind of gay people from all over the country. But somehow it was told to me that Halloween is like the gay national holiday. And I guess that can translate over into the queer national holiday, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I was like, when did Halloween become so popular amongst at least the gays? Like, mm-hmm. And so I'm turned off by it now. It's just really annoying.
Well, I think that it
because
does,
everything has to be a sexy costume.
Right.
Well, yeah, on two sides, it's like one, you can do the sexy costume.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, Halloween is where a lot of like drag performers get their start because it's an open opportunity to dress up however you want. And so many of them, like a lot of famous drag queens on Drag Race, their first time was during Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So
I can see that. Yeah.
And you can do drag and be celebrated just for putting on a wig.
Right.
Even if everything else is just busted.
Crunchy.
Yeah.
So I think to your point,
we are trash, crunchy,
and busted.
Busted.
At the same time. And they all are synonyms, kids. Fun with words. So I think one of the things to piggyback on that, it is the one time where like anybody can also try on a costume, and in the premise of it's Halloween, mm-hmm. it's accepted and it's okay. So I think that gives people that freedom and that license that they may not get 364 days out of the year. But then when you are like myself and Zachary over here, celebrated drag queens and regular ones, every day is Halloween. And so, yeah, it can get a little exhausting. I think for me, I grew up in a super religious household. We were very Southern Baptist, and so we were not allowed to celebrate Halloween.
You didn't even have hallelujah parties?
We did not have hallelujah parties. We did end up having like fall like family fairs that we would end up going to. And over time, like my parents started to loosen up, but I could only ever dress up as like Bible character. So it was like Moses.
So Elijah calling down the fires from heaven. Like,
with like a beard and all this other stuff. So
on King Ahab.
It was never really my holiday. Although now I've kind of taken advantage of the fact that it's Halloween and that people are in drag and that I do drag. And I've sort of taken this opportunity to reclaim Halloween for myself. So I try and do characters, especially drag characters, that I always wish I could have done when I was a kid, and I do them now as an adult. So that's why this year I want my drag character for Halloween to be Cruella De Vil.
Yes!
Ooh.
Because I think she's a bad bitch, and I'm a bad bitch, so I should be her for Halloween.
Yes, the energy's aligned.
So I'll dress up as a PETA and then throw blood on you.
Great.
As a PETA?
A PETA. P-E-T-A.
Oh, see, he said a PETA, and I was like,
pocket.
Like
a flatbread?
You're talking about PETA, like the folks that have that damn
coming through like a
that
gyro.
What's it, the billboard?
Gyro.
That billboard in Times
Square.
Speciesism. And I'm like,
no, man.
Chow. And then people told me it was a real thing, and I was like, okay.
See, that's when you know you're in the end times.
Some incredible people let me know that it was a thing. And
my,
I was like,
my opinion and relationship with Halloween is that like I love it and it's fun and it's cool, but at the same time, like, I didn't start to love it until I was like graduated high school, because where I'm from, Halloween was notorious because the night before is Devil's Night, and the problems with Devil's Night in Detroit is that that's when white youth from the outer communities of Detroit would come into Detroit proper and light buildings on fire. And
thanks.
It was such a problem that like the city had to like ask the governor and the US government for help in the 90s. So Mayor Dennis Archer started this program called Angel Night to try to basically get everyone in Detroit to walk around outside and protect your communities.
Put your life on the line. From these white devils coming into our city and burning down. Okay.
Yeah. Because Detroit is because of the race riots in the 60s, all of the white people fled into the surrounding suburbs. And then
Memphis is like that too. White flight.
Yeah, the white
flight. It's like all the rich people live outside of the 240 loop. Mm-hmm. And then the inner city. I think that's like all the cities in the United States that are not on the coasts.
But they get bitter about it.
Mm-hmm. All the Apple stores out on the outskirts of the town instead of inside the town.
So what else do people enjoy about
movies?
Okay, so what about, I really don't like scary movies.
Why?
You gotta tell me.
I don't like that.
I don't
either.
Like being scared.
Same.
I don't like jump scares. I don't like, especially, remember that whole time period, and they're still around, but like the whole time period where it was like torture porn and it was like all those
Saw
movies. And
Hostel.
I can't watch that.
I didn't like those.
Like, I can't watch those. Those like freak me out and give me nightmares.
No,
tell me about horror that you like.
I like psychological thrillers or like suspense. So I'm thinking like the most recent one, which I can't get into because we're on a time limit, is Parasite. It's a Korean horror. Well, it's a Korean psychological thing. I really, really, really encourage everybody out there to see Parasite when it comes out in November. It's out here in New York, but only at one theater. And then like Paranormal Activity and stuff like that, where it like strings you along
with
for
ghosts?
A long time, or like those found footage films that really string you along, and then there's always like one thing at the end that's like it makes sense of everything that has been happening. Mm-hmm. But no, I agree with you, Carlos. I don't like the torture porn, the saws. Or just like the straight up blood and gore
stuff.
Do
you think that there's a specific kind of person who enjoys those? Because for me, every time I see people who are like, I remember when Saw came out when I was in school, and people would be like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, like the people that are getting hurt are actually like bad people by whatever face, like the Joker face or whatever he is, that little like dude on the tricycle and Saw, like, oh, that these are bad people. And he's like, you know, subjecting them to what? And I was like, so you don't go to church, but you still love a morality play. Okay. Oh, okay. So it changed. Okay.
What about you, JoJo?
No, those things just really, I won't front, like, especially the hack and slash gory stuff. Like, I can't watch that because, like, I just, my skin just crawls watching that, and I can't tolerate it. But, like, for me, just most horror movies are not good. Like, I remember specifically going to see, oh gosh, what was that movie with Sarah Michelle Gellar? It was
Scooby-Doo.
No.
Scream? I Know What You Did Last Summer?
No. It was a spin off of the Japanese horror movie.
Oh, House. No, not House.
The Ring.
The Ring.
The Uninvited.
No.
Similar to The Ring. Whatever. Anyway, I just remember in high school.
With that little boy with the black ring around his eyes when she moved into the house.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't remember because I fell asleep watching the
movie.
And
the housekeeper with her jaw ripped off.
Oh my
yes.
goodness.
That
yes.
one, yep.
So yeah, I went to the movies with my friends because they all wanted to see the movie, and I never go out with my friends. It's a pattern that's continued.
Oh wow, okay. Wow. But here we are recording. Wow.
Cool.
But like, because I just didn't have time to go out with my friends at the time because I was doing everything. So we went, and everyone's watching the movie, and every single, I just got annoyed because everybody kept on screaming and waking me up.
Oh, fuck. So you were not impressed.
I was not impressed.
So it woke you
anyone.
Up out of your good sleep.
Hello.
I Googled horror movie housekeeper jaw ripped off, and I'm pretty sure it's not Jaw No More.
No.
No.
But that's what came up.
The premise
Thanks,
is
Google.
Sarah Michelle Gellar moves into this house in Japan, and it's haunted by the wife of the ex-owner who, like, I don't remember. I know she killed the kids.
Yeah. Something that was kind of recent and kind of spoilers for It Chapter 2, if you saw that. That opened up with a hate crime
right.
against a gay couple. Mm. And it's a horror movie. And so, like, it's bloody and it's like, and people were really mad about that. And I was like, but you're not mad at, like, 12 Years a Slave or, like, the entire
right
cinema library that we have of black people being depicted as slaves and getting beaten all the time.
And also just actual slavery.
Right. But you're mad at this gay couple. And, like, Stephen King wrote that in to the original novel. That's how it starts. And it was based on a real crime that happened. So, I mean, like, I guess I'm trying to, like, put a bow on it by, like, maybe some people are averted to horror because maybe it triggers, like hate crimes or something. But I don't know that.
But that's the thing. Could I play White Devil's Advocate?
Okay.
Please do.
Okay. But, like, saying that including it makes it happen more that's a logical fallacy. Like, hate crimes happen no matter what. The only reason right. to stop hate crimes is similar to the German educational system. They talk about the Holocaust at all points of the educational system and say, this was awful. Look what happened. And so, like, the more that we talk about hate crimes happen, trans women are killed, gay people are killed, like, the more we talk about it, the more we talk about slavery, mm-hmm. the more we talk about the Tulsa bombing of Black Wall Street, that's how you prevent it from happening. So it's important, even though I'm not going to watch it, it's important to have that in there.
Well, the major criticism was that people didn't understand that it was based on, first of all, in the novel, and then what was in the novel was based on history. So people thought that they were just using a hate crime, very graphic hate crime, against gays as torture porn, basically. Mm. But yeah, that's a topic for another day, I guess.
So this was a great discussion, and I think we could probably last for forever, but it's starting to freak me out a little bit, so why don't we take a little break?
To Carlos's point about fear, do you know what's actually really scary? Not having a supportive community. Fortunately, we do have our patrons. Starting at $1 a month, you too can become a patron of This QPOC Life. You can invest in this podcast and help us to continue to create quality content by and for QTPOC. Check the show notes to find out how you can join our illustrious association of Patreons.
So if you're just listening for the first time, you may not know the power up. Oh, I'm all on the side of the thing.
So she's taking it from the side. Oop.
So there.
So if you're just listening for the first time, you may not know the power of a good old self-care check-in. Each week, we like to take a moment to ask each other, how you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Because a simple act of mental health amongst queer people of color, queer and trans people of color, is an act of resistance. After breaking down what Halloween really means to us, how are you feeling, Jolie?
Happy to not be talking about Halloween.
Okay.
Right.
In all seriousness, I'm still like juggling several things in terms of getting caught up on my financial picture. But I feel this week, I probably feel the best I have since the summer started. And just learning how to approach self-care from a mental health standpoint has really just shifted so much for me. And it's really changed my outlook. And, you know, as I've been talking about my journey understanding ADHD and whether or not I have it, which I, on Monday, I reached out to the mental health wellness hotline in the city by text. And they sent me three different psychiatric clinics that provide free services or sliding scale services to help me facilitate getting that diagnosis or not. But either way, what's really interesting is that studying about ADHD has given me a locus and a different perspective on what my situation is and how I approach all of those things. And my tendency to spiral and get caught into like something that just spirals me downward into a depressive slope isn't happening the same way, where I'm just like, hold on, let me get ahead of this. Let me stop for a second, take a breath, look at what this pattern is and how it usually functions for me. And then just take the emotional weight out of it and just look at this clinically for a second.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it's helped me so much. And like, just to be transparent with y'all and our listeners, just because I feel like talking about this is important because it's the story for so many of us. My rent check bounced. Oh. So I was hustling to make back the money that I needed to issue a new check to my landlord. And fortunately, he's been really understanding, and that's not so much of a problem. It's not good, but it wasn't a terrible situation. But I feel optimistic because this is probably the first time I feel like, where before I feel like just sort of keep coming back to this sort of space where I just feel stuck all the time. And I'm just like, well, no, now I feel like I'm making the right baby steps. And I've had like 6 different calls with current clients and potential clients this week, which is the most I've ever had. Mm-hmm. They've been super productive. I've simplified my process so much. Like, and because y'all know there are so many different project management apps for things. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to use a fucking Google Doc.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's just, it's made things so much easier. And it's one thing that I've had to analyze is the fact that sometimes I'm not busy, but my mind is. And understanding the difference between those two things.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something earlier that I didn't quite, like, that stuck in my mind. Like, what is, you said, like, locust?
Locust. Locust.
Locust? Oh, yeah. I don't know that word. I only read the Old Testament.
A locust and a locust are two very
different
things.
Like, what is that?
So locust is sort of like, it's a collection of points that helps you put things in perspective.
So like having a road map.
Yeah. It's like having a, like this QPOC life is a locus for the queer experience as people of color.
I love that.
Oh, okay.
We are each those different points.
Amazing.
And we are an arc.
Oh, well, I am an alignment of 3 points.
Oh,
I am a syzygy. A syzygy. Yes,
well, speaking of, how are you doing, Zach? That was seamless.
That was arguably, wow. So I,
that's the smoothest transition actually, we've had in 3 years.
Do you know what I love about every time we do a good transition? We always have to acknowledge it. We have to fully stop down and say, you know what?
Every victory, big and small, is worth celebrating.
Celebrate your successes.
We do the Whitney
Get
Houston.
Suck a dick.
Start a business.
And then the Natalie Cole. It's weird because the last month has arguably been like the most busy and hectic and stressful, like, experience that I've had in a really long time, in that there's my job, but then I'm also in a program at work called the Emerging Leaders Program, and we're gearing up for this major presentation in front of like the CEO next month. So we're preparing for that. Then it's also, I've been kind of alone at work because so many of the people from our LGBTQ employee resource group have stepped back because they're also super busy. And so it's kind of been me by myself putting on this huge event in partnership with a bunch of other really, really big brands. Mm. And I thought that it was going to be very turkey because they were bringing they were all bringing so much money. Mm-hmm. But money does not go far, and there are so many costs, and it's just a lot of stuff. And then there was the Wig Sticks performance, and then there's the PAO and taking up leadership responsibilities within that. And so it's just been difficult to, like, I'm constantly working, but it's just really difficult to put things in a bow and finish up with them. But I'm excited because after next week, when that event is over, then I can focus on the leadership presentation. And once that's over in early November, actually, you know what I will say? I feel like it's something that we always talk about, and this will be the end of my self-care moment, but like, I feel like we're every single time we're like, oh, as soon as this month is over, we're going to be great. Mm-hmm. And then like, it's always hectic. Welcome to New York.
She's been waiting for you.
Point of clarification question.
Yes.
Or clarifying question.
Yes, you are invited to the event.
That's the one I'm invited to? Is the one that you've been working on?
Yes. It's, for months.
Wow, I can't wait to come and fuck it up.
You don't have to fuck it up because we're already on the edge of glory at this
Thank
point.
You.
It's
well, I have
off.
Not a clarifying question, but a question of concern. What are you doing to make sure that you're okay through all of this? Are you taking downtime for yourself at any point?
So I have this really neat trick where I internalize everything.
Oh, awesome! This sounds about to be real.
My mother's side of the family converted from Southern Baptist to Methodist a few years ago. So what we do now is we take all of the problems and we suppress it until I'll deal with it in my 40s.
Cool.
Got it.
Love that for
therapist
me.
Right, is going to be
right,
very
right
rich.
Where it left you.
I don't have the script because I have the timer up.
It's my, well, it's my turn.
Okay. Yeah. So, Carlos, how are you doing?
I am actually doing quite well. Like you, I've been extremely busy. I think the first 3 weeks of October have been insanely hectic. Every weekend having something to do. We had the Tonewall performance at the competition that went really well. We had Wig Sticks. And then literally after finishing Wig Sticks, and Zach was with me, so he knows what this was like, we literally all de-dragged, jumped in the car. The girls were kind enough to give me a ride back into the city. I dropped stuff off in my apartment, grabbed another suitcase, and then jumped on a train to go to Washington, D.C. for a conference when I was out for a week.
So clarifying question, you were ready?
I was ready.
She didn't have to get ready.
I stayed ready. I had two suitcases ready to go. Like, I literally, like,
living a double life.
Pop. I had to, like, pull. I know. And then I low-key wish that I had brought some of my drag shit down to D.C., and I'll tell you why. And I think this is, even though I've been really busy being in D.C., so I was in D.C. for the Out and Equal Workplace Inclusion Conference for LGBTQ plus people. And it was really great because it was a week full of 6,000 queer and queer ally people.
And you got to see Queen Lena.
We got to see Lena Waithe, and she just dropped all of this knowledge on us during one of the big open sessions. And then I got to go to a bunch of different workshops. I got to get to know some of my colleagues that went on this trip with me better. And it was just nice to be around that many people who were part of the community or supporters of the community. It was really cool to see, like, visibly trans people walking around, like people that don't necessarily pass walking around. I got to spend one of the workshop sessions that I was in talking to this awesome trans man named Charlie. So Charlie, if you're out there listening, you may or may not be. But we connected and it was really cool. And we had a cute little moment because his name is Charlie and my name is Carlos. And that is my name in English.
Right.
And so we had a little cute kiki about that. And we did this workshop together. And it was just nice, like, make a friend in that moment and to really be there. The most powerful things that I got to see and experience were two panels on identity. One was a non-binary roundtable. So it was an open roundtable and a discussion forum for non-binary people and people who wanted to be allies. So although it was held in a small room, it was jam-packed full of people. There were people sitting on the floor. And it was neat to see a facilitated discussion from the moderators who were kind of in the middle of the room and then other people chiming in. I got to chime in with a little crack like I always do because, you know, my mouth will just keep on flapping.
Keep the brand game strong.
Thank you. I did say that in 2019, I am not doing the work for anybody else. And so that got a lot of applause. Yes, and kiki moments. So that was exciting to be able to share that moment. And then the next morning, there was a panel on aromantic and asexuality, which I knew of in theory and I understood to some extent. And it was really important for me to learn more. And again, it was in a decent sized room and the room, again, jam packed full of people sitting on the floor, people who really wanted to know and understand both of those types of orientation and also how to be a good ally. And I think the biggest takeaway for me was that we are all allies. We think about, you know, we are in a marginalized group ourselves and sometimes more than one marginalized group as queer people of color. However, there are also moments where we can be an ally to somebody else who finds themselves in a disadvantaged moment. And so what are the things that I'm doing to be a better ally to a trans man or a trans woman or someone who's Asian, who's experiencing discrimination from somebody else? And that was, I think, really, really important for me to take in and to bring back with me. And so I'm energized and I've brought that idea back to the workplace and I'm pitching along with some of the folks that went to that conference, pitching an allyship day that we can have in the office and have all of the BRG, all the business resource groups feed in to have different kinds of workshops and make it an actual event that everyone in the company is encouraged to attend. And we will make time, like a half a day, for people to attend that.
Oh, wow.
That's really exciting.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Doing the good work.
Doing the Lord's work. And speaking of doing the Lord's work, Jonathan, how are you doing?
Well, the Lord is not finished with me.
Ooh, thank you. Because not all are able, honey.
Well, speaking of able, mine is not such a good, it could be viewed as whatever. I mean, so I'm the type of person, my philosophy all through being a self-described public speaker type person, the message that I give out is you never get old as long as you keep on evolving and learning, and that's how you keep your youthful energy. And it's easy to talk that. It's easy to say that because I am always learning stuff and I'm always doing stuff and I'm doing my first short film and I'm in that process. Bish, I don't want to point it out to the people in the room, but y'all are going to look dead ass at it as soon as I say that the front left part of my hairline is disappearing. So I went to the doctor.
Here we go.
It's thinning
like
out.
The waters.
It's
of
thinning
the
out
Red
like
sea.
Moses parting the Red Sea. And I'm like,
from all sides.
From all sides. I'm 35 years old. It's a matter of fact. So I am now on finasteride, which is like apparently 1 in 2 men or whatever who experience male pattern baldness take that to like either slow down or reverse the effects. Mm-hmm. I'm also taking biotin pills. And so those are like 2 things that I'm doing to try to slow it down. But at the end of the day, like, because I'm going to fight this fight. Right. But like, if I end up not winning it, then I'm just going to go like every other black
just
person.
Just
be bald. So,
but what about getting those fabulous, I mean, I hate that they're called man weaves, but.
Oh, that seems like too much. Amazing. That seems like too much.
22
problem.
Inches. Just looking
that's a lot.
Lovely.
Like, they have to glue it to your head.
They do, yeah.
And then they have to give you a haircut.
Oh, that's a lot.
I have watched those videos and I'm like,
kind of
maybe.
Amazing.
It's pretty awesome. You could get a bomb ass fade off of that. But
so definitely keep doing what you're doing. The other thing that may or may not be contributing to this is also your weight loss, right? So you did lose a good amount of weight in a short amount of time. And sometimes, because that is a quote unquote shock to the system, sometimes that does have hair loss that's associated with it. So it may, again, may or may not be, but that was when you were talking about that, it sort of triggered a memory in me because I'm in several weight loss groups on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I know I'm really cool. And so that is something that comes up once in a while with some of these people. And a lot of them are women in the group. And so they talk about losing their hair as a part of that experience.
That's interesting.
And it's a little bit of a healing crisis. So not all hope is lost, my friend.
Not all hope is lost. And, you know, again, I just, it's not that I'm afraid of getting old in the sense of like stopping learning. But there just comes a reality that as you're starting to, like I'm not at old yet. I'm on the freeway about to
of
get
love.
I'm on the freeway about to take the exit to the old neighborhood, but I'm not quite there yet. Right. Like I'm just now having to start thinking about that.
You gotta get over to the right hand lane.
Right.
Turn on the blinker.
Turn on the blinker.
Siri said you better start to pull over right now.
In 500 feet.
Are you also exploring topical treatments?
We have this shampoo and this conditioner that's like a biotin and it's like called Thick and Lovely Rich or something. So I just like try to put that in there too.
There's also the topic, like the filaments that you can put onto the hair.
Oh, they actually used that on me when we performed for our Emmy Award winning performance.
When we won our Emmy.
Yeah. And I was like, what is this? Because I had those, I had that.
Yeah, the dreads.
The locks.
And so like when they really parted it, it was like, even back then in 2018.
Yeah.
That's the thing though, like all my life, even when I have my hair just short, like this part is always just naturally lighter. So I'm trying to not, right now I'm accepting that I'm getting old, but also, since I was a teenager, like this part of my head, I'm touching the left front of my head right now, has always just been kind of thinnish.
No, yeah, that's because we don't have consistent hair coverage on every part of our body.
So maybe I'm not getting older. Maybe that's just a lie. Anyway.
Maybe you're just tender-headed.
But also, like, I think it's also important that we can talk about the fact that our physical appearance is important.
It's true, and it does weigh in on your own self-image, and I'm trying to divorce myself from that. Speaking of divorce, we've got...
we gotta go.
Well, so I guess we're taking a break. We'll be back, y'all.
And with that, you all, the divorce has been finalized. What I will say before we go is that thank you so much for exploring this spooky Halloween month with us. It was a wild hayride. Some of us did not want to get on it. But at the end of the day, I think it was a successful month.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And also, I'm just inspired from all of you here at the table, but per Jonathan's discussion during self-care, I'm really excited. And I think that we should do a future episode, perhaps by the end of the year, talking about our journeys of age and how our bodies are changing. And there's
our bodies, ourselves.
I just become more and more myself. Thank you.
I just hope the robot technology comes along to where we can just live forever.
I'm good. And with that, you all, I'm Zach.
I'm Carlos.
I'm Jolie.
And I'm Jonathan. And this was
the award-winning This Q-Pac Life. This Q-Pac
Life initiates banter that fades into This Q-Pac
Life. Which laugh?
This episode of This Q-Pac Life was recorded at Brick Arts Media in downtown Brooklyn, New York. Music and editing is by Jolie. Remember, you can talk to us at This Q-Pac Life on your favorite social media platform and our website, www.thisqpac.life. Thank you for being a part of this Q-Pac family.